The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, April 5th. We got a huge show for you today. We're talking NCAA tournament. We're talking Roy Williams. We're talking Paul Pierce and Space Jam. Might talk a little Godzilla Kong, among other things. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, my pals, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, guys?
I was confused whether I should go with the "what's up, guys." I lean right. You know, I went with the old, you know, old faithful. You feel
me? Yeah, you got to do what feels natural. And Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Yeah. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Gone.
Hey, guys.
Programming note, we are recording Sunday afternoon. We are watching the Stanford-Arizona Women's Basketball National Championship. We are midway through the second quarter. Stanford is up by one. If you hear us talking about the game, it's because we're watching the game together while we record, because this is a podcast with three people who do shit like that. So.
Yeah, actually friends.
Actually friends who actually watch basketball. But let's start with the NCAA tournament. I think regardless of what happens in this national championship game, and I said before it started, I'm expecting Stanford to win. I think Arizona and Adia Barnes are the story of the tournament, because
hell yeah.
The moments when people talk about when Draymond or whoever puts their foot in their mouth and talks about what women's basketball, quote unquote, needs to be successful, as though it's not growing in by leaps and bounds every year already. I feel like the Adia Barnes moment of her, you know, them upsetting UConn, the super team that everyone's known about for decades, and then just popping the double birds in the team celebration afterwards and very visibly saying, "fuck everybody else." That's perfect, man. That was a perfect moment.
It is. And I loved how she set out, you know, how Adia set out to clarify. Yes, we were saying, you know, fuck everybody who doubted us, and I will not apologize for that. Like, good for you, because you should not ever apologize for saying fuck anyone who doesn't believe in us. You know what I mean? So I love that for her. Like, that was a star turn moment for her in my eyes. Like, I'm a huge fucking fan now.
But even if she was saying fuck, like, whoever, it didn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? I'm a big fan of saying fuck everybody that ain't us. As well. Yeah. So regardless of what she was saying, you know, it was a private moment with her team, and she had the right to do that. And if anybody was expecting her to apologize, fuck them too.
Yeah.
And she won't say it, but I will.
Right. Yeah, perfectly said it. You could tell that exactly who she was as a coach, because she didn't like hesitate or feel awkward saying it. She pulled her bottom lip all the way behind her teeth for the fuck everybody else.
and the team reacted to it.
Yes.
Yeah. She spoke to their heart, bro. She spoke to their soul when they said that. It was a fact. And that's how they move, and that's how they should. You know what I mean? They beat a hell of a team, bro, with a pro on it.
Our producer Brittany basically retweeted her whole press conference before this national championship with Stanford. And I love everything she said. She was talking about how important it was for her to handle that situation the correct way, because she knows that as a black woman, she's not going to get to be Mike Woodson. You know what I mean? Like, she's not going to get to be hired by another college a couple years later. She's like, black women get one shot as head coaches in basketball. And if you don't get it, you don't get, I think the term she used was recycled, which was perfect. She's like, we don't get recycled into other jobs.
Mm. Right.
So I know I have to make this moment work exactly right. And I hope she understands. I hope that they all understand that was a moment that worked perfectly. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. Like, and the thing about college is college coaches really only get fired for one of two things or two things, right? Like, either you stop landing recruits or you cannot connect with your players, or either both, right? And that was a moment that showed us that she connects with her players on a very deep level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like I said, great moment for her. And I fucking love that. And fuck apologize.
I want to say it was Cal said to Sports Illustrated like 15 years ago, you get fired for losing, or you get fired for getting caught cheating. And if you get fired for losing, you don't get another job.
You know what I mean? That's real shit.
If you get fired that for is cheating, tabernacle. Shit. You know,
you'll be all right.
Yeah, as long as you're winning.
As long as that cheating equated to winning.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
they'll figure it out.
So we'll see what happens. But I just feel like my rule with the NCAA tournament is the moment a coach and a team do something like that, like Arizona did with beating UConn in that celebration, the moment I'm fully on board with them, they're guaranteed to lose the next round. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as soon as you emotionally invest, your heart is going to get fucking ripped out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely expecting Stanford to win this, but I don't know. We might be recording until pretty deep in the game. So we'll see what happens. The game of the tournament, honestly, maybe the best basketball game I've seen this year. And I'm a big time NBA greater than college basketball. But that Gonzaga UCLA game last night was some fucking heat, bro.
All-timer, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can't really remember when I've been that invested in a game when I didn't give a fuck about either team. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I had I wasn't invested in either team for real, but I was really invested in the game because the game was that good. They were so efficient. It was very offensive, but it wasn't like the defense was trash. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, both teams have – I mean, Jalen Suggs as a young buck is crazy. That dude Kisper, whatever his name.
Well, okay. Well, first of all, the shot at the end of overtime to win it.
Did you know it was going to go in? Did you know it was going to go in?
I had an inkling, bro, because like I said – you know, my wife is a UCLA alum. Like all UCLA fans, when she heard that they won in the Elite Eight, that's about when she tapped in. You know what I mean? Like, she's a Southern California girl. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, we're in the Final Four. Let's go. Like, I'm going to make sure my kids know who all the players on the team are. Yeah, exactly. So I just felt like, you know, I've been telling them, I was like, Gonzaga's really fucking good. You know, like, I don't know. And so they were fired up. And we watched the end of regulation overtime at dinner. And it was just like, we were sitting outside and I just leaned back and like stared up at the sky for like 30 seconds without saying anything. And Char was just like, what?
Yeah. Has he ever really watched over and over again? Has he ever really watched tourney games? Like that's how tourney games end. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she has she's watched usually more so the sort of gluttonous first couple of days that I really love. You know what I mean? Because once that – my attention usually kind of goes away once it's not on 24 hours a day. But she never really, like, followed a UCLA team that she was rooting for like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was a perfect moment. The stats about the game are crazy. I just wanted to read a couple. The game was tied for 6.5 minutes. There were 19 lead changes. The largest lead was 7. There were no more than 6 unanswered points the whole game. And there was a 2 or 1 score deficit for 43 minutes and 51 seconds out of 45 minutes. That's from Heat Check CBB. Wow. That's the crate. I mean,
yeah, it goes back to how we mentioned how, you know, a lot of times watching college sports, like, I don't necessarily feel good for the winner as much as I feel bad for the losers, right? You know what I mean? Because Johnny Juzang, bro, the fucking work he put in to get that bucket, right? He fucking, you know, he caught the shit outside the arc. He dribbled it down. He got a switch. He beat that defender to get to get a shot up in the paint. He missed that shot. He fouled his own shot, got his own rebound, put it back up to tie the game, right? 90-90 at that point. And Johnny Juzang, he's a kid who's like, he's not even projected to get drafted. And here comes Jalen Sugg, top 3 projected draft guy, 30 feet out, banks in the fucking game winner, right? Right? And it's like, bro, it's just, like I said, that was a moment where I was more sick for, you know, Johnny Juzang than I was happy for Jalen Suggs.
Juzang, like, why didn't he touch the ball more in overtime? That's what tripped me out. It seemed like every time he put his hand on the ball, it was a bucket. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like more often than not, you know what I mean? The dude had like 28 going in, I think, to overtime. He was going crazy. I think he touched the ball like once or twice in OT, which was weird. But what's the worst you felt for a player after watching a crazy moment?
Marcus
like that?
Page. Marcus Page had
I remember the that. That's greatest.
Marcus Page had the greatest fucking shot we've ever seen in tournament history. No one will ever care because of Chris Jenkins. Right? He double pumped. He double pumped under a defender and hit the shot to tie it from three. And then Chris Jenkins comes down and hits the game winner.
And that was his senior year, wasn't it? And Marcus probably should have left 2 years prior if we're keeping it a stat. You know what I mean? Like, he should have jumped to the league. I mean, he stayed in North Carolina 4 years, and I don't know if he necessarily needed to. You know what I'm saying? But Mark, that was his senior year. I'm a Duke fan. I remember we recorded after that, and I called you up like, damn, man. I didn't even clown you. You clowned me up after Lehigh. You was on my head at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw that Marcus Paige shit. I did not feel good about that at all. I was like,
I remember that episode and the genuine love and sympathy flowing back and forth.
Bro, if we was in the same city, I would have hugged this man the whole time during the pod. It's okay, man. You can we'll make it through this pod. That was horrible.
Yeah.
But man, I want to say fuck me because I said the dumb shit about like college basketball is almost impossible to watch, you know what I mean, without the fans. And hey, this tournament has been good. That game was great, but the tourney as a whole has been fun as hell to watch. Mm-hmm. And you know, I doubted the quality. I mean, it's not the obviously the same quality basketball as NBA basketball, obviously, but it's still really good, fun basketball. And so fuck if it's not the same quality. It's been fun to watch. And so fuck me and what I said about the quality of NCAA basketball. You know, it's been great. The tourney's been awesome.
I would say the men's tournament's been great. The women's tournament, to be honest with you, this is one of those years where, you know, we're watching a one seed play a three seed for the national championship right now. The men's tournament, for as many crazy twists and turns as they were, it's 2 1 seeds playing each other for the national championship. Mm-hmm. The women's tournament was exciting to me this year because you can start to see the depth of talent across the country increasing to where it's not just chalk. Like the chalk is disappearing around earlier, it feels like, you know, each time a year or two goes by. And I would say that the Baylor UConn women's game is up there with the UCLA Gonzaga men's game. I mean, you know,
outside of the bad refereeing.
Well, I was going to say, like, to be honest with you, it's unfortunate to say it, but the refereeing controversy almost ends up just with the way that the, you know, take economy is so fucking important to sports now. The terrible officiating almost ends up being beneficial as well to the tournament. Brittany, again, our producer, sent me she sent me a tweet that said that the women's tournament that day got like 10 times the social engagement that the men's game got. And we know that that's important business wise, you know, that's important for the women's game. And unfortunately, shitty referee is a really it's a quick way to get good socially. You know, you have a good game with the bullshit officiating. You got yourself a stew as far as Twitter is concerned.
Right.
Well, okay, Tyler, I know this is near and dear to your heart, bro. So I wanted to open this up. But I think basically like the morning after we recorded our last pod, Roy Williams had a surprise to me, at least, announcement on April Fool's Day that he's retiring at the age of 70, which I guess saying that out loud maybe should not have been quite so surprising to me because he's 70 years old. But you are a lifelong North Carolina fan, and I know feel very strongly about Roy. So the floor is yours, sir.
Yes, for one, I fucking love Roy. You know, there's the whole discussion about how UNC fans don't like Roy, and I never understood UNC fans who thought there was a better option out there than Roy Williams. You know, Roy Williams is one of the all-time greats, bro. What 903 wins? Three titles in 12 years, like from 05 to fucking, you know, 2017. Like, that's remarkable, bro. Like, you know, he came to UNC when we needed him the most because those Doherty years, oh my fucking God.
Abysmal.
Oh, abysmal, bro. Bro's going 8-22 with a core that fucking, you know, Roy won a championship with. Like, the program was really in trouble there, and Roy saved that shit, and he kept Carolina afloat, man.
When you think about him, do you think about Kansas at all?
Because
he was the face of Kansas, like it wasn't a player, it was him, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I don't think you can separate Roy from Kansas, but I feel like North Carolina was where he had his best years, you know what I mean?
He had three championships there,
right? So, exactly. But yeah, but during his time in Kansas, like you know, he was no fucking joke either. He had Kansas being a fucking, you know, he made that job way fucking easier, you know, for everybody else who follows him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think he
Kansas years too.
You mentioned, you know, when you pull an elite program out of the desert, you sort of create that bridge into the future. And it's real easy with North Carolina, with the actual program being where it is, with the, you know, being wrapped right around Jordan Brand the way that they are, you can see what the road forward looks like for that program. And it's kind of crazy that it's a dude who was older, you know, an old school guy, definitely of that kind of aging out generation that took him into the future. Yep. But I think that's what I would say. Like, you could really see what it looks like going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did you end up in North Carolina, Tyler?
My pops, man. You know, my pops grew up in Southern Virginia, like a town called Red Oak, like 15 miles from North Carolina border. And they used to get UNC games all the time. And Bobby Scott was like the first black player in the ACC. So, you know, my dad grew up as a kid watching, you know, the only black guy on his TV when it was ACC basketball. And that's how he became a Carolina fan. And that's how I inherited that shit. But, you know, Roy got that job because the Dean Smith lineage line is so very important. You know what I mean? It's so very important to Carolina fans. I don't know if they still want to claim to that, you know, in 2021, like they did in, you know, 2000 fucking four or whatever. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the next step they take here, because Roy played it smart, because, you know, they came calling after Dean retired and Roy turned him down. You don't ever want to be the guy replacing a legend. You want to be the guy replacing the guy that replaced the legend, right? Right. You want to make expectations a little more realistic there. You know what I mean? And Roy bided his time. And he came on board and he won three fucking championships. And, you know, he's a legend to us now. So, yeah.
That's arguably the smartest career move I've ever heard of a coach making. You know what I mean? And right, I know that it was intentional for exactly the reasons you just said. It was like, No. I can't fill his shoes. Put someone in there who really doesn't fit the shoes.
Right. Make somebody stake it up and anoint me as your savior when I come. But you know what I mean? Not as someone who's got to achieve the impossible. Yeah.
Have they mentioned anybody else? Like as far as who's coming next? Have they talked about anything yet? Because I know they probably have somebody in the pipeline already. I know they didn't find out when we found out, you know.
Right. I mean, I haven't heard anything about, you know, the front runner. Like back in 2003, you know, we knew that Roy Williams was the guy that they wanted. Like, they even asked him that shit after the championship game and he said, "I don't give a shit about Carolina," lying through his fucking teeth. Right,
like he's supposed to.
Yeah, like he's supposed to.
Right.
But yeah, but who knows, man, who knows.
I love that story about your dad in North Carolina. I think that's one of the reasons it's always so stupid to all three of us when people talk about separating sports and culture or race and politics or whatever is like, I feel like almost everyone I know has a story like that about one of the teams that they root for. That it was like, oh, well, my dad or my grandpa or my mom saw this history being made or appreciated the way this coach reacted to this situation or whatever. It's just like, you can't in 2021 go back in time 60 years and cut the cord on shit like that. Just, you know, it's impossible.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of mixing sports and off court culture, Paul Pierce, I'm going to be honest. Okay. Look, I'm going to be honest with the Jenkins and Jones listeners. They pay us at the Volume Podcast Network. So I'm on vacation right now. I have not been tapped in to the Paul Pierce situation. I just know everyone was sending me screenshots of he got on IG Live with some friends and some lady friends and looked like he was having a great time. So, Tyler, can you explain to me what happened with Paul Pierce, bro?
Oh, well, shit, I ain't on Instagram either, but I saw, you know, I definitely kept tapped into this story because this shit was a lot. But yeah, you know, basically Paul Pierce went live. He was getting his hair cut. He had some strippers over and he was smoking some weed, which just might be a regular Friday for him. But, you know, thank you for letting us into your world for that moment, Paul Pierce. We did not know you were living like that. I might have been wrong about homie this whole time. I thought he was a square, but homie was goddamn, he was enjoying himself that night, bro.
He was gambling while getting a haircut with cheeks clapping in the background. I've never seen some shit like that ever. And I didn't know he was getting a haircut. So I looked back and like next to the cheeks was like the barber setup, like the clippers and shit. And I was like, is this man getting a haircut? Like, this is just how he gets down, bro. Like, hey, good for him. He's very interesting way to go about doing things.
I think
may be his coming out party. The things I love, you know what I mean, here at once. You know, I don't know.
I think Paul
I can't Pierce, I also can't believe I was gonna say I also can't believe that Paul Pierce's haircuts are in-home, on-call barber quality, because those shits be looking regular as fuck on TV. Like he just might be swaggerless if, like, an on-call in-house barber can't make your shit look crisp. You just might be cursed with the cloak of swaggerlessness, dog. There might be no getting around that.
I mean, how old is Paul Pierce?
Oh, it's about 43, 44.
Bro, it's kind of hard. I mean, dude, there's not many Jaylens out
here. He's 43.
You know what I mean? At 40... Your lineup.
Well, look, I mean, we know that the in-home haircut.
Good for Paul Pierce.
The in-home lineup is about the greater experience for Paul Pierce, as we learned on Instagram. So you know what I mean? Like,
there's that too.
It's not about the lineup.
Well, you know,
it's about doing some baller shit.
But what I would say,
it's about flexing on these niggas on social media. You feel me?
But I think the thing about Paul Pierce that, like, you've seen Josiah and Mgrads and some other dudes, Black Trey, talk about this on Twitter, like. Paul Pierce has, because he was with the Celtics and he just has the personality that he has, he's always looked like a square on TV, but that dude was born in Oakland. He went to Inglewood High School. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. He didn't fucking transfer to a private account, like a private school in Orange County. He went to Inglewood High School. He was a McDonald's All-American out of Inglewood. We all know, obviously, like, he's surviving stabbed 11 times. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that, unfortunately for him, he happened to be on the Celtics at a time when his whole hometown was very united against the Celtics. And I think he kind of even, you know, but that's what I've seen Josiah and them talking about. Like, people around here, around Southern California, need to respect him more. Is like, this dude is a legend. He's one of the greatest basketball players ever from California, from Southern California. And we all talk about him like he's a fucking dork.
I mean, he shit on himself on television. So, I mean, we can't forget that part.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
We saw something that looked very similar to that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And, bro, I've always said that it's interesting as fuck that baggy 1990s culture saved Paul Pierce's life. Because when he got stabbed up, that motherfucker probably had on an 8X Averex, a fucking 4X hoodie. Right? Like, if that shit happened in 2021 with a fucking slim fit Balenciaga, fucking jacket, Paul Pierce would be out of here, dog. Yeah. Paul Pierce would be gone. Paul Pierce would be pushing up daisies, dog.
I feel bad for laughing at that. But
on it's
Easter
true.
Sunday, let's be grateful that.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Over Under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/overunder and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/overunder. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. What did you guys think of the trailer for the most highly anticipated movie of 2021, Space Jam 2?
Space Jam 2. I loved it. I thought, you know, I didn't expect this movie to be, you know, some fucking, you know, Oscar nominated, you know, fucking bitch. I wanted this shit to be fun, and it looks fun, bro. That's all that fucking matters. Because Space Jam 1... maybe my the way that I idolized MJ as a fucking, you know, 14-year-old or whatever was too out the roof, because that shit was a letdown, bro. Like, maybe you combine, you know, the shitty, you know, technology in the 90s, the over-the-top expectations we had for MJ, but that shit did not come together well for me at all as a kid, bro. But I think this shit is going to be exactly what it needs to be.
As a kid, I thought that movie was trash. I remember, like, 30 minutes into it being like, I just want to go play. Like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And I was obsessed with MJ. You know what I mean? So this looks interesting. You know what I mean? And I had really low expectations because of the first one. But it looks like it'll be a fun experience. You know what I mean? I'll tap in and watch it. I mean, but like, hey, I'm not guaranteed to be there past 30, 40 minutes, like I said.
You'll sleep through fucking anything, bro. Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite part of every movie is my 10-minute nap. Because, I mean, 98% of movies I watch, there's going to be a 10-minute point where I'm mouth open with it. You feel me? And then I'll tap in. Be like, oh, okay, what happened? Okay,
I think, cool. I've watched Space Jam with my kids. And I think a really something that I was kind of aware of as a kid that I'm very aware of as an adult is that Michael Jordan was terrible as an actor, bro.
I felt like they fed him those lines.
It looked like SNL. Like you could see his eyes moving on the cue cards and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
hi, I am Michael Jordan. Bitch, you Michael Jordan. You know what I mean?
And to be clear, I was a big enough MJ fan. I was a big enough MJ fan. I think you guys know this story. I was at the scenes where they filmed the baseball scenes. I was an extra. I was a kid in Long Beach. They filmed it in Long Beach, who signed up to be there for that shit. And I dove atop other children to graze his pinky finger as he was giving out high fives to all the kids afterwards. And then you see the movie and you're like, okay.
What the fuck is this?
Wait, so y'all didn't like the movie as kids? Because I was told that I was wilding.
No, saying it was.
I wouldn't say I didn't like it.
I would say that I thought it was like weird that Michael Jordan. I remember thinking it's weird that Michael Jordan looks like he's pretending to be Michael Jordan. And now that we know what his personality is, I think we know why that was.
Yeah, he absolutely was acting in that motherfucker. He was being a wholesome family man, a wholesome, kind, considerate person. He absolutely was acting in that motherfucker.
They should have had him in the fucking Goodfellas, bro. If he was in the Goodfellas, yes.
Oh yeah,
closer to himself, you know.
Oscar
what I mean?
Nominated, Oscar
right,
nominated.
Right, right, right.
I was saying, as fucking that. Like, watch The Last Dance, watch the full 10 hours of The Last Dance, and then just watch the speech where he's being encouraging to his teammates in fucking Space Jam. And you're like, who the fuck is this?
Never met him. Man. Never seen him.
You can do it. I'm going to use a psychological mind trick to motivate Bugs. Like,
right. He should have called a few people a bitch, and then we were really, you know, yeah. Okay, there you go.
He should have beat the. He should have punched Porky in his fucking mouth for missing a wide open three. Right? He should have choked Bugs out and called him a bitch in practice.
Choke that nigga out.
Right, that would have been the real Mike.
Damn, man.
That would have been the
real
Mike.
And we would have fucking loved that movie, dog.
Yeah.
This shit is great. He's the best actor ever, dog. You know what I mean? This thing was like a third grade teacher.
This
Come
is
on,
so
guys.
Realistic.
It'll be yes. Okay.
So I think the bar is low for Braun as an actor. And to be honest with you, I think Braun is a great actor. Like I've heard like Judd Apatow, other like comedy directors talk about it's bullshit that this dude has comedic timing and can look natural on camera. He's a fucking 6'8" basketball god. He's not allowed to be funny too. Yeah. Like,
what was that movie he was in? Like Blind Date or something?
He was in something with Amy Schumer.
Yeah,
but he was funny in that. I was surprised. I was like, damn. I was expecting him to be like MJ or reading the shit. You know what I mean? But like. The best I've ever seen do it is KG, though. KG?
KG was so natural.
KG, bro. And you know who's really good, too? Blake Griffin. Yeah. Blake Griffin is special, bro. Mm. Like, when on camera, he's hilarious, dog.
Yeah.
So, but yeah Bron, I think he'd be decent. I think he'd be decent for sure.
So, speaking of LeBron James.
Oh, my God.
He's waited. Listen. We have an ongoing debate on this podcast about what's more important in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, the peanut butter or the jelly. Jelly fam was on the ropes because Team PB over there on John's side it was like blow after blow after blow. It was like Marrow and then Zach Fox and then Shea Serrano. And just when it looked like Tyler and I were dead, it's fitting that we're recording this on Easter Sunday.
Our Savior.
Because
we were resurrected.
We are
by
risen.
Our Savior.
We are risen. We are risen, Tyler.
We are back in business, baby. Bro, hey, look, I'm just at the point now. No, look, I'm at the point now where we know that no argument is going to win anything now. In any, it's not going to sway any opinions. We just got to roll out names who are on our sides. And Bron is a big fucking name to get. Perhaps the biggest
in this whole debate.
That's the Joker right there. Played the Joker.
Also, that's the big Joker. The biggest of big Jokers.
This is the thing. They were comparing it to his game. Nobody's game wants to be peanut butter. If you're just saying it, okay? When he
Why is that?
Well, I mean, let's
what is it about peanut butter that no one wants to be compared to?
Yeah, what is it about peanut butter?
I'm only talking about this for y'all, okay? The shit.
No, don't do that.
I'm not defending myself because I don't give a fuck. The dub has been acquired, my nigga. But I'll continue my point, and I'm not gonna let y'all sway me on no bullshit, all right? But he didn't want to be peanut butter initially because he didn't want his game compared to
when Wade broke down the reason you're talking about is because you know that Bron agreed with him
at the end when he said ain't nobody eat no jelly sandwich
you called
and
Tyler,
was breaking down the reason peanut butter was good.
You called Tyler
he agreed
crazy.
With Wade's
you
logic.
Called Tyler crazy.
You called me crazy for saying. You called me crazy for saying Bron was his jelly. And Bron said, yeah, I'm the jelly. Apologize now.
Bro, like, no. No, I'm not going to apologize.
Bron himself Wade, said he's the jelly.
Bron didn't want to be jelly until Wade broke down the benefits of peanut butter. And he agreed at the end. Y'all ignored that on purpose because y'all are desperate. This is how desperate. He didn't even give y'all the cosign. Wade talked him out of it in 15 seconds, dog. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think any of us have ever argued that a jelly sandwich is good. We just said jelly is more important than the peanut butter.
Wade made the same point everyone makes that you don't want to eat a jelly sandwich.
The
and
receipts.
Then you say no
Mike
one wants
said
to eat a peanut butter
would
sandwich.
Eat a jelly
I would eat a jelly
Mike,
sandwich
you said
over
it.
A peanut butter sandwich.
Mike, you said you would eat a
over
jelly sandwich.
Over a peanut butter sandwich.
No, he said peanut nobody's butter. Eating jelly sandwiches. Your ass said you would in defense. So, bro, no, dog. Bro, I've been saying the same shit the whole time. Everybody's been saying the same thing I'm saying, and finally I'm right because everybody said basically what I said the entire time, bro. Look,
how did you turn
didn't agree
LeBron
in the end? And that's what matters. He's like, oh yeah, you're right. You feel me, dog?
No, he said no one eats jelly sandwiches. He didn't say you're right. Jelly is less important. He still stuck to that.
His game is the jelly.
He agreed with Wade's logic, and it was blatantly obvious, bro.
Shit, I do too. You need way more peanut butter than jelly.
But that's why he said Bron is peanut butter. You feel me? Because peanut butter is the most important part of the team or of the sandwich. And Bron is the most important part of the team. It's that easy, guys. He actually agreed. You are proving yourself wrong. I'm sorry it's come to this. I'm sorry. You got to let it go. You got to move on. Y'all are fucking... I don't know how you can say
you need more peanut butter than jelly to make a good peanut butter jelly sandwich, which is what we agree on. But then say that the more scarce item is not the most important.
Look at him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to LeBron for the co-sign.
Yeah, thank you, LeBron. Thank you for siding with us.
Thank you to LeBron.
Y'all are the thirstiest niggas in the world right now, dog. I've never seen it. Took the L's with the peanut butter, the rat shit over and done.
Did y'all watch Godzilla King Kong?
Yes.
I took a nap every 46 seconds. But the
that does
I
not
saw
that's
really
that is not
funny.
A that does not tell me anything about Godzilla King Kong.
Exactly.
I would say my review of Godzilla King Kong is the exact same as my review will be of Space Jam 2, which is all the people on the internet who will be talking about it are going to be like 35 to 50. But the movie was made for Vincent, my 7-year-old son. And I had to wrestle him for 30 fucking minutes when that movie was over before he'd go to bed. He was so fired up.
He said that's Mega Godzilla. I bet his fucking eyes popped out of his head when that kid said that shit.
Well,
my
kids were on the same shit as you guys. They were rooting for King Kong, so they were a little bit hurt that Godzilla fucking dragged his ass all. King Kong had the United States military behind him and still fucking got his ass dragged.
Yeah. Yeah. When you need a motherfucking goddamn defibrillator. Like you got your ass beat. I can't even front, man. But
hey, and then after
jump that motherfucker.
After the defibrillator, he had to get up and then get his shoulder back in place. So, like, that motherfucker got his ass. Whoa, nigga. Look, hit his shoulder against a fucking building and knocked that motherfucker back in, dog. Come on.
Yeah. I feel like it was three rounds, and I don't even know how to score the first round. The Kong, you know, Godzilla, Ocean, because that was such an insane home court advantage for Godzilla an insane home court. But, you know, Godzilla got the first round Godzilla got the first round on land, but then, I mean, Kong got the first round on land, then Godzilla just he decisively won that second round. Like, he put his foot in that motherfucker's chest, like, bitch. Like, who the fuck are you talking to? Yeah, I was like, God damn.
He ended the fight the way he ended the fight the way you end the fight against your little sibling. He was like, I'm gonna hold you here until you tell me with your eyes.
Until you come to your senses, right? Yeah. Put his foot in that motherfucking chest. God damn, little bitch.
That shit was serious.
Hey, was that the point when you tweeted, when you was like, this nigga should have hooped? Because she was like,
it was just a ridiculous out. Kong was ridiculously outmatched, but he made it work. That motherfucking axe ain't even do shit, but he tried his best, man. God damn. Kong got his ass beat, bro.
That nigga went back home, came back, and got his ass whooped. Again, dog.
He went home and got his gun. With the murder and still got smacked up.
Went home, got the gun. No. Hey, Godzilla must be Samoan, dog. He got some Samoan in his ass, dog. Because that's a Samoan shit.
And that low center of gravity, bro.
And you core still whooped his ass,
it was
bro.
Core, I told you, it was coming down to core and base, bro. He backed his ass down.
Core and base.
He dogged that man out.
Hey, but you know what?
That low center of gravity, man.
I looked at you like, damn, Kong.
I was genuinely shocked, though, because I think when the three of us talked about this, we all sort of started by acknowledging, like, in quote-unquote real life, obviously, the lizard will win based on the shit that he's impenetrable and he breathes fire and all this shit. I just assumed that in the movie they were going to have Kong win because they knew that's who people would be rooting for. I was genuinely shocked that they had King Kong running from the atomic fire breath like it was atomic fire breath for like 15 fucking minutes.
That motherfucker was shook, bro. But yeah, they really, I feel like Kong is probably is Kong a bigger draw globally than Godzilla? Because like, I feel like Asia loves Godzilla and I feel like just
it's
America
like 100 Godzilla movies and like 10 King Kong movies. Like Godzilla, especially so I would say the only part of the movie that I really strongly did not like was that they basically like completely cut Japan out of the shit. It was like America and China. And I understand that those are the global film markets, but it was like Japan, like Godzilla, this whole shit comes from fucking Japan. Like, like the whole style of filmmaking is like Gojira, like, you know what I mean? And they're just like, no, we're going to sell this movie in fucking China. They're already out of quarantine.
I think King Kong is loved so much here in America because of his love for white people. That's probably like, that's probably why.
He was willing to die for these white women,
And America's like, fuck yes. You know what I mean? And they just like, ah, whoop that nigga's ass, Godzilla. Please.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I can't believe them stubby ass arms gave King Kong the beats, bro.
But I mean, them sharp ass spikes in his back. He tall as fuck. The tail was doing
well. Listen,
too,
let's be realistic. And I mean, I respected your guys' arguments when we talked about, you know, who's going to win in the fight. Opposable thumbs versus atomic fire breath, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's cool to be able to hold shit, but it's also cool to be able to crack the world in half with your breath. You know what I mean? He punched through to the center of the fucking planet by like breathing on it. That shit was crazy.
Bro, this was honestly like Bron versus the Warriors in 2017, dog. Like, I like when we were having that argument, I was like, yo, these are great points, but my heart just won't let me, you know what I mean, say that Godzilla should win. But you was hella right, dog. You won that, you know? And even like the movies were like, bro, we really can't. It'd be too unbelievable to allow this man to beat Godzilla. Like, come on, dog. You see this nigga. You look at Godzilla.
I was prepared to hate that movie when he found that fucking axe. Like, oh, he found an axe with a piece of it. Like, his best weapon was an axe with a piece of Godzilla's fucking spines on it. It was like, he's going to take that and hit him in the face and win this shit. I would be so fucking pissed. At least make him make the axe himself. Like,
But that axe was there because evidently King Kong's gorillas beat fucking Kong, Godzilla's lizards back in the day and shit. So Kong like let the whole fucking family down. He let us down and his whole fucking lineage down, bro. Like, God
his
damn.
His niggas in heaven with the bird's eye view like, damn, Kong, like, damn, my nigga, you feel me? Like, this what we own now, bro? Like, we done left you to ax you all that shit. You still getting your ass drug in front of the whole globe, nigga. What was really flagrant, though, was with the first time Godzilla attacked and they said 8 deaths.
He
literally rewinded it to watch the whole city. Like, 8 deaths? I was like, this is the time when I take the nap. I'll tap in a little later. 8 deaths? Come on,
What's
man.
What's exciting to me is that they seem to understand that they don't need to make movies for, like, Midwest farmers in the 1980s anymore. Like, the director was talking about, he thinks going forward, the monster movies will do away with human characters completely, which would make me so fucking happy. Like, let's just, the best parts of the movie was when the big creatures are fighting. Like, just have them fucking fight for an hour. I don't want a plot. I don't want, you know what I mean? The plot is this one wants to kill this one. This one wants to kill this one. Like, that's the oldest plot in biology. Like,
they wasted the hell out of Millie Bobby Brown. I'm like, why was she, why that, like, she, you going to use her for this weak ass role? They really didn't even show her that much. Like, yeah, man.
So let's do it. I just, you know, Mothra versus fucking baby Godzilla, Godzilla Jr. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is.
2 hours of straight banging, bro.
I love it. Okay, so while we're talking about ancient mythology, it is Easter. And something my kids didn't say earlier got me thinking about this. Did you guys believe in an Easter bunny when you were kids?
Absolutely.
I didn't believe in shit as a kid, dog. Said all this shit is bullshit.
What did your parents, did you guys get Easter baskets?
Yeah, I did. My mama woke me up with a little chocolate shit.
Yeah, okay, you got the chocolate. Nah. So this is what got me thinking about it. We give the kids Easter baskets, you know what I mean? And they're doing the Santa thing. My daughter's 5. So as the former president said, it's marginal, you know, but we're still in the Santa Claus, in the Santa Claus era. My kids have asked me for Santa Claus's social fucking security number. I mean, they want to know everything about it. Like, they want to know everything about Santa Claus. They want to know why his uniform doesn't catch on fire when he's going 1,000 miles an hour. They want to know how fast does he have to go. They want to know, is he over Africa right now when it's 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve? You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to know everything. There's 100 Netflix shows and movies and cartoons about who is Santa Claus? Why is he giving all these toys to everyone? Like, everything about the mythology of Santa Claus. There is not one fucking thing out there like that about the Easter Bunny. And I think my kids know it's bullshit, but they want to believe in Santa Claus. I think they know the Easter Bunny is bullshit and they just don't care, bro.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Do your kids believe in the Tooth Fairy?
Maybe. They know they get money.
I feel like there's a human animal distinction where people can believe that a human can do all the shit Santa does, but no one believes a fucking rabbit can do all the shit the Easter rabbit does. You know,
because
what I mean?
There would be way more questions than there would be about Santa Claus. Like, how does the rabbit carry all of the baskets? It doesn't even have thumbs. It doesn't even have King Kong's thumbs. Like, it has it just has a satchel or some shit with 6 billion fucking baskets in it. Like,
I think they care based on how fire the holiday is. Like, the Tooth Fairy, you get $1, right? You get a fucking Easter basket on Easter. Christmas, you get fucking cake the fuck up. Like, well, I don't give a fuck. Like, do they really give a fuck about that chocolate? They're buying chocolate throughout the year consistently. You get shit on Christmas that you might not have another opportunity to get, bro. You know what I mean? Like, Christmas is the time. So I think there's, like, a relationship between how fire the holiday is and how much they give a fuck. You know what I mean? Because, like, who doesn't give a fuck about Christmas? I damn right I care about Santa. This motherfucker lacing me up. You feel me? fuck these boiled eggs and this little chocolate bunny I get on motherfucking Easter, nigga. And fuck that little dollar I'm gonna spend on some airheads, you know, from the damn Tooth Fairy, nigga. You feel me?
So you're saying Santa's a number one lottery pick. Like, of course,
Santa's that nigga, bro. Santa is that nigga, dog. When you was a kid, that was the man, bro. That nigga woke up before Christmas like, I'm that nigga. He the most important person on the planet for a day, bro. You know what I mean? And like, bro, like, so yeah, bro. Like, nobody care about Easter money because that shit weak, dog. Tooth Fairy, a dollar, weak.
Bro, I still remember to this day in kindergarten where a kid I was in kindergarten class with, you know, told us and the teacher that he saw the Tooth Fairy. He's like, I saw the Tooth Fairy and she had like chains of teeth and she was like glowing and she, and the teacher was like, wow, really? And I am always just like, it didn't say it on me until I realized the Tooth Fairy was fake, that, yo, this teacher really put on a fucking show. But deep down, I know she's probably checking off, the check boxes like, this motherfucker be lying. I need to keep my eyes on this kid right here. Because this motherfucker be lying. But yeah, we were all just in awe at his witness account of the Tooth Fairy, and she played right along with that shit.
That's so,
bro, I didn't believe in none of that shit, bro. I remember in kindergarten, like, I think I was four, actually, finding a bunch of presents, like, ducked off in my mom's bedroom closet. You know what I mean? And so I was like, and so my mom was
all
like,
three of us spent too much time at home alone to have believed in Santa Claus.
Right. Hell, you know, yeah. What I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? Me and my sister. So, I remember my mom was all fucked up over it, right? And so I pretended I believed for her. I was like, I know, mom. I get it. You're Santa's helper. I just wanted the fucking gifts. I didn't give a fuck about Santa. Fuck this nigga. I said, I get it, mom. You're Santa's helper. And all those Santas out there, they're just a representation. Obviously, I was too young to know that. But I was like, they're Santa's helpers too. You feel me? I did that for her. Bruh. And then I remember being six, I told her, I was like, mom, I don't believe in Santa. I never believed in Santa. Just give me my motherfucking dollar with my teeth come out. Give me my motherfucking Easter basket. And I want my presents to show up on Christmas. This is what I want. Legos, and a motherfucking Nintendo. Shit.
Bro, I remember the first time I questioned my mom about Santa. She didn't even put up a fight, bro. I was like 4 years old, right? And we lived in an apartment. And I was like, how does Santa come see us if he has to come down the chimney? We don't have chimneys. He was like, yeah, Santa ain't real. I was like, oh, yeah, I figured.
Your mama was tired, dog. Your mama was tired. She's like, nigga, I'm raising two of y'all niggas, dog. Fuck this. Nigga, that nigga angry. But I get it, though. Ain't no white man gave me shit, dog. You feel me? Yeah. You telling my black ass and I'm getting free shit, nigga? You feel me? My mom earned that shit, bro. I get it, bro. Fuck Santa, dog.
Shit. Vinny's 7 this year, Maya's 5. This was definitely the year Vinny kind of figured it out. You know what I mean? And he would kind of pull me aside and he'd be like, so when is Santa gonna bring the
This is for you, not for me.
And I was like, hey, okay, because Maya, and he's like, yeah, you know. So,
he's in on a joke. But then he
comes up and he hugs me and he goes, Dad, thanks for everything. You know?
Oh, that's some real shit. Yo, Vinny. I love Vinny, dog. That's
my guy, bro.
Vinny is.
That's we never thanked his dad because he knew the dad was doing the motherfucking work, not this motherfucking weirdo that just be sneaking in your motherfucking house at night.
Did you guys not have the idea of Santa Claus being black? I feel like all my black friends, when I'd be at their house around Christmas, they had like a black Santa nutcracker or like a black Santa doll or some shit. Like,
we had all black shit. But we didn't see the representation of that nigga. Huh. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like we just had black shit because we was black. Like, I never, because I didn't believe.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know black kids that thought Santa was coming by was black. Like, this nigga wasn't pulling up playing Motown. You feel me? Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, did you think, I mean, when you believe for the 3 seconds you believe, Tyler, did you think he was black? Like,
I remember Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show had an all-time skit on that. You remember that shit when he was like, whenever, you know, Santa comes down your chimney, he just turns into the color of the family that's there. And then he had a really good joke about how how, you know, the white friend that he was explaining it with, like, he was like, one time Santa came down and me and, you know, Bill was in the living room and Santa just said, uh-oh. Like, you know, that was a really good joke right there that, you know.
I hate the fact that I'm laughing at that. Just fuck that dude.
Yeah, yeah, I said it was good, clean comedy coming from a terrible fucking human, and we had no idea until decades later. But I never even considered that because I was like four. I didn't necessarily understand what race was, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, that's like I feel like I've seen like representations of Santa as being like Cambodian or Black or Polynesian or like anytime you're at a friend's house, it was like, here's like,
that's some Long Beach.
Yeah, like Santa's from Mexico. Oh, Santa's from the islands. You know what I mean?
That's some Long Beach.
I like that though. It's like a reverse. The Cosby theory is like a reverse Pennywise the clown. Instead of being like a nightmare that takes the shape of whatever you're afraid of, he's a friendly guy who looks like your dad. Like,
right. Right.
All right, before we get out of here, we've had a couple people hit us up and they're fans of the show. We greatly appreciate them hitting us up, offering to get us on Cameo, that they're trying to get. And for those who don't know what Cameo is, it's a place that celebrities or pseudo celebrities can offer their a cameo, a video message, whatever, where someone would book, I have $100. I want this athlete to give my dad a happy birthday message for 30 seconds or whatever, whatever. And while we greatly appreciate the interest and that people have asked us to be on Cameo, I literally can't think of a worse group of three people on the planet Earth for that service than the three people who host this podcast.
We can barely figure out our intro. It's a struggle every time.
Every fucking time.
Every time, dog. Us on Cameo? Like Mike said off camera, he was saying that we'd be on there for 10 minutes and would say the nothing that you asked us to say. And then we just get off. Like, here is just 10 minutes of us talking about all shit but what you asked us to talk about.
You're like, oh, I asked for a 30-second happy birthday message for my brother. It's like, well, you got 10 minutes about fucking Zoroastrianism.
Right.
You know, here you go.
Right, right.
It's like Fruit Loops versus Cinnamon Toast Crunch or some shit.
Right. Start talking about Sid Hartha for a second. The greatness of Harper Lee. And it'll be up out that thing, dog. Oops. And happy birthday, I guess. You know what I mean?
Whoever the fuck you are.
Whoever the fuck this nigga is.
Okay, so look, if you wanted to contract this through Cameo, just clip this. You just cut out the last 30 seconds. Yeah, happy birthday, you know, happy holidays, congratulations, condolences from Jenkins.
Feliz Navidad, all of that. You feel me?
Free of charge. No charge required. All right. I think that's it. I think that's it. We'll be back again on Thursday. Thank you so much for tapping in. Be sure to subscribe and give us the 5 stars. Make sure you're listening to all the other great podcasts on the Volume Sports Network. And we'll see you guys on Thursday.